You derailed a train.
Oh, he did. Did he?
Well, the train derailed and I happened to be on it. I killed my target.
Objection!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friend Request, a podcast where we talk about pairings in games or just game characters in general. I'm Jennifer Uncle for Scanline Media, and joining me today is Colin Detmar, also from Scanline Media. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Ready to talk about some writing, so some characters.
Sounds good. So I figured I would start off with the one I brought, since you haven't played it yet, or maybe ever, since you never...
I played a little bit.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about Jacob and Evie Fry from Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is the one they made around 2015, right before they took a break of sorts. And 2 years is kind of a break for the series, since they used to release these things annually. Anyway, so Jacob and Evie Fry are twin siblings, and they come from England in around 1868, and they decide, hey, why don't we just go and liberate London from the Templars? Everyone else is telling us we shouldn't go, but it seems like it's about time to finally take it, so let's go against the orders of our order and form a gang and take the whole place over, essentially. And they immediately introduce your two protagonists in a very playful way. They're on the top of a speeding train as another assassin is kind of taking the piss out of them, is going, oh yes, the magnificent Jacob and Evie Fry here to save the day. And of course, the jobs that they're going on right before they go to London are both messed up in such a catastrophic fashion. They still get the job done, but they leave a trail of destruction in their wake. So obviously their next move is to go to one of the most populated cities in that region and continue their reign of terror, so to speak. Or, as Evie would probably put it, their attempt to free the people of London. So Jacob is the... Whenever you have pairings like this, like the twin brother and sister, it usually goes the brother is the brute who is kind of an idiot, but gets things done with a smile on his face and is the brunt of the group. Well, he's the muscle of the group. And the girl tends to be the more intelligent, sophisticated one who's attempting to keep order and has her own challenges along the way, just with things not being as simple and clean as she likes. And
so obviously Syndicate mixes this up.
Not quite. I thought that they were going to do something, but they pretty much play to those stereotypes to the letter. Like, Jacob's very first act when he gets to London is, I want to start a bigger gang to beat up this other gang. And he pretty much just does that. And along the way, while Evie's on her scholarly mission to retrieve the Shroud, which is this game's version of the Apple of Eden, it's this cloak that brings people back to life and heals them, Jacob is out doing things like assassinating one of the biggest bankers in London, and generally going after people that are both high up in the Templars and pretty high up in society. And a lot of Evie's missions after that starts happening tend to be, well, Jacob just destabilized the entire English economy, so I'm going to have to go and clean things up by coincidentally killing some more people. And it kind of snowballs into that for a while, until the two of them get so angry at each other that they swear, by the time we take over London, you and I are through. But, of course, the mission immediately after is them finally taking over London, and the two of them make it up to each other right in front of Queen Victoria, who says that she saved Evie a piece of cake. The one interesting thing they do with Evie is there's another assassin named Henry Green who is... He's been there the longest. Like, he was... While the rest of the assassins were refusing to enter this area, he was the one who was keeping things down, holding the last strains of resistance against Crawford Sterrick, which is a very British name. And, she takes him for granted, and as soon as he messes up one job, she orders him back to the train, which is their hideout, essentially. And she really abuses this person that kind of likes her, and he likes her too. And you get the sense that they're going to have more of an interesting falling out, or they're going to go over this character development a bit more, but in the end, he shows up to save the day and everything's all cool. No, he never chews her out for treating him like shit. And the two make things up instantly. That's the big problem with the narrative in general in this game, and Evie and Jacob, to the most part. They have small, interesting building blocks, but they're never interested in using them, and any conflict gets smoothed over almost immediately as soon as it starts. And you know how I said near the beginning that the Assassin's Guild wasn't too happy with them going off to London and wreaking havoc on their own without any support or, yes, we want you to do this? Turns out they don't care. And it's remarkable to see two characters where they clearly got the tone of the writing down. They're constantly making quips at each other and getting one over, participating in little races, stealing gadgets from one another, saying, no, I got dibs on this. But they never end up talking about the deceased father or the deceased mother in any detail except saying, yeah, your father was a good man, or your father was crushed by the death of your mother. And I can see why after this they decided, hey, we should maybe take a break and hopefully give more character to these characters.
Yeah, it seems like maybe they had the playful tone down, but they didn't have anything to say about it.
Totally. And they have pretty much every other side character is so much more interesting. Like, they have a trans man character that helps you out a ton. They have a Sikh prince that you work with him to negotiate with other people high up in London to be like, hey, what you did to this Sikh prince's country is pretty terrible and you should probably give back control to him. And they have those small vignettes, but they're so desperate to be like, oh yeah, here's Alexander Graham Bell, here's Charles Dickens, here's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle when he was a kid, that they don't leave any room to talk about the people that they've created, and that's a real shame.
And the things they have to say about the characters that, like, I mean, I don't know, I've seen a little bit, not obviously as much in Syndicate, but like, throughout the history of Assassin's Creed, they don't have very interesting things to say about existing historical characters either.
Oh yeah, no, they just present them as colorful characters, but you end up reading more into them than they put down there just because, well, you have to think of something to make this more interesting to get through however many hours it takes to liberate the entirety of London and take back the artifact.
Yeah. So, the characters I brought today are from the Ace Attorney series. I brought Miles Edgeworth and Dick Gumshoe. So, if you're familiar with the world of Ace Attorney, which I know you are, But the listener may not be. It is basically it's focused on a fictional court system in an alternate world where this is minor beef. The idea is that it's the court system is guilty until proven innocent because they have so many more crimes now and they just need to get them all cleared away, which is why the system is so harsh. Apparently they forgot this premise by the sixth game.
What?
Because a major plot point is Phoenix going to new country and the justice system is tyrannical. And he's like, well, where I'm from, we believe in innocent until proven guilty. No, you don't. That's the premise of the series, is that you don't. Anyway. So a lot of the characters you are introduced to through the series are in some way involved in the legal system. And Miles Edgeworth is a prosecution attorney. And Dick Gumshoe is a police homicide detective. And the thing that's like, Dick Gumshoe ends up working with like all their, there's a whole cast of prosecutors, and he works with basically every single prosecutor throughout the series. But the thing about Gumshoe that's really like, that makes it special with Edgeworth is he has this kind of like, the detectives are always in this setting, like loyal to the prosecution, which is fairly true to life. But like with Gumshoe, he actually like kind of enjoys being Edgeworth's assistant in a way. One of the spin-off games that we never got is Ace Attorney Investigations 2, where the two playable characters you play as Edgeworth and Gumshoe, and Gumshoe's just following Edgeworth around and doing his bidding, basically.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It's pretty good. You still get a little bit of him in the other Ace Attorney Investigations game, but there's a different partner for that one, so he's only an occasional appearance. And the thing that's nice about their dynamic, like, Gumshoe is kind of this, like, he tries to play into the detective stereotype, but it kind of breaks down, you know, like, sort of hard edge and, like, tough and, like, you know, hard on crime. But he's really just this, like, big, goofy softy. Who will kind of like, he'll cave whenever he's pushed, basically. And there are a few times where he doesn't, and that's really impressive. Like, when it really matters, he stands his ground. But if you're just like, come on, Gumshoe, this is really important to the defense. You're hurting somebody. He's like, I don't want to hurt anybody. and it's just this relationship where, Edgeworth is, you know, the, like, ace prosecutor. For a while, for 4 years, he's undefeated, and after that, he's the chief prosecutor. He gets defeated, of course, by the protagonist of the series. But through Edgeworth's sort of travails as like this boy genius into sort of like a person trying to figure out where he should go, like leaving the legal system for a while and just sort of walking the earth. And then coming back and becoming chief prosecutor, through that whole time, he stays in contact with Gumshoe, and Gumshoe sort of loyally follows whatever he needs. I don't know, like, you've played, you know, you haven't played all of them, but you played, like, the first three, right?
Yeah, I've played the first three, and you definitely see an element of that, like, in two and three, they kind of give a, sort of what they do with Maya as well, they take Edgeworth as this iconic character and go, oh, where is he? What might he be doing? And since Gumshoe's still doing his thing, you see him comment on how much more mean the other prosecutors are, like Von Karma with her whip, and what's the other one that was really super abusive?
Godot was kind of rough.
Oh yeah, Godot was real rough. And, yeah, you get the sense that the two really formed a bond together, and even though Gumshoe definitely has an idea of right and wrong, like, he would never do anything terrible for Edgeworth's sake, I think. But you do get the sense that Gumshoe and Edgeworth would never make it seem, Edgeworth would never let this on, but the two of them really do seem to have a close bond that Edgeworth leans into a lot more than he lets on. And it's sort of a sweet, silent, secret friendship. Well, not so much silent and secret when Gumshoe talks about Edgeworth, but definitely Edgeworth likes to conceal that he's such good friends with this cop.
Edgeworth in a lot of ways likes to pretend that he's this really like cool detached guy and he super isn't. So that's fun. But yeah, like, I mean, there's a key plot point in the second Ace Attorney game, Justice for All, where at the like the major case at the end, like you're sort of up against a wall and Gumshoe's like, actually our investigation turned up this piece of evidence, and it's like, oh shit, this is great, and the piece of evidence is enough for you to like turn the case around and win the case. And the prosecutor, who's Francisco von Karma, is like, I didn't tell you to investigate that. And he's like, Edgeworth did. Sorry. So it's this really sweet, like, they look out for each other, and it's really nice.
Totally. I would play a game with the two of them working together, get on that Capcom, just find a way to translate that and send it over here.
Well, I mean, if they're re-releasing some of the other games, they should package up Investigation and Investigation 2 and put them out here. Investigation 1 we got, so just translate 2, put them both in a package on Switch. Just do it.
Yeah, I would love that.
But for now, I think that's it for this episode of Friend Request. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on stuff. as part of my recent thing, I'm not pimping various sites where you can get podcasts because the numbers just don't hold up that's worth doing. But, you know, we keep the show to be a tight, you know, 15 to 30 minutes so that it's easy to recommend to a friend. So give that a shot. Let them know that this is a fun listen. We would greatly appreciate that. Our big thank you to Krista Lee for use of her track Hearts Burning Bright, which is our intro and outro here on the show. You can find more of her work at opoorpup.bandcamp.com, including that track if you would like to purchase it. If you want to check out more of our stuff, you can go to scanlinemedia.com, where we have other podcasts and some articles and various things. And if you want to help us cover more things, you could go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And I think that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening.
See you next time.